Psalm 91, let's look at it. Verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I began to think about that. I've known this psalm for years. We've used it. We've heard it. And I just begin to wonder, what's the shadow of the Almighty? How do I get to this shadow? What happens when I'm in the shadow? I begin to think about it and study it from Scripture. And the Lord really encouraged my heart. 20 years ago, of course, on 9/11, we've spoken about this time in our history. We discovered as a nation of those what it meant to be in the shadow of the Almighty. I was a senior in high school. It was during speech class, and we're about to start doing these different speeches, and my teacher came in, and she was just trembling. And I never forget that. How many of y'all remember where you were and what was happening? And it was a time of confusion and chaos. I never seen this particular teacher shaken by anything, and she was with this news. As we sat there, we heard the news, and they wheeled in the TV. We didn't have the flat screens on the wall back then. We wheeled in. It's a good day when they wheeled in the TV, but this day it wasn't. We watched on that screen that second plane enter the tower. And we heard, since we were about an hour from Boston, that those terrorists had driven right by our school in I-93 that morning to go to Boston. And I'll tell you, I never knew what a panic attack was until that day. I had a panic attack, my first one. I used to be transparent. Everything was tightened. I couldn't breathe. And I remember walking outside, all of us, we had soccer practice, just looking up in the sky and wondering if the plane was going to fall and crash and hit us. Wondering if there was going to be more attacks all over the country. We didn't know what was going on. It was a time of confusion. I'll never forget my pastor gathering us all together at lunch at the Christian school and opening Psalm 91. I wish I had that message. I have the word, but I remember distinctly him going through Psalm 91 and going through the names of God and speaking about the shadow of the Almighty. And it did something in my heart that I'm very thankful for. Many people speak about millennials and everything that happens, but listen, many of us that are of that age knew what it was at that point, the importance of life and death, the reality of coping mechanisms. Many and some went towards drugs and alcohol as their coping mechanism. It's National Recovery Month. Some went into relationships and different sins. But those of us that discovered that the greatest coping mechanism is a person, his name is Jesus. He has a relationship and he's got a peace. The greatest place to go to is not some place of entertainment or amusement to distract your mind, but to focus your mind. And there's a great relationship of one who will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest place of recovery is the shadow of the Almighty. Elizabeth Elliot titled her book, The Testimony of Her Husband's Passing, as a martyr there to the Indians there. The missionaries that attended that area went there, were martyred at the end of a spear. She titled her book, The Shadow of the Almighty, speaking about what it was to be in a place of security, a place of peace, a place of joy, a place of recovery. And I don't know about you, but with everything that's going on in our world, with whatever's going on with the pestilences and then different things happening in our government and other governments, and let me say 20 years ago we needed to be in the shadow of the Almighty, but I'll say right now we need to be nowhere to go to get to the shadow of the Almighty. Substance misuse and drug and everything that's happening with alcohol is at all-time high. Suicides, sin, struggles, escapes that the devil provides are out there that are substitutes for the real thing. And the real thing is perfect peace and joy and life in Jesus Christ. Anything else that Satan has to offer is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Oh, the devil will distract you for just a moment, but it's a distraction that will lead to death. Jesus offers life, and he offers it more abundantly. You must get to the shadow of the Almighty. It's interesting as you look at Psalm 91. There are many who speculate who wrote this psalm. Some say it was David. But if you look at Psalm number 90, I believe it was Moses. We know the Spirit of God breathed it out. But as the penman Moses with Psalm 90, this is an appendix to Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. If you look back at Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 27, Psalm 90 could really sum up the first part of that verse. And Psalm 91 could sum up the second part of the verse. And here's Moses writing this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, most likely speaking about what it was to be in the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, this shadow is referenced throughout Scripture. This shelter is found throughout Scripture as well. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, the prophet said, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." And that gives us understanding of what the shadow is. It's a place of refuge, of protection from the heat and the storm that comes. And someone who's in distress or someone who's needy has a place to go, to have a shelter in a time of storm. Psalm 18, verse 2. The psalmist says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Psalm 121, verse 5. "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." Think about a shadow. What does a shadow do? A shadow protects you from harm. When you're out in the heat, and that's pretty much all the time in North Carolina, except for like maybe a month. We had just a good day like last week and the other day where it was under 102 or something. But when it gets hot outside, where do you want to go? You want to go find a shadow. You want to go find a place where it's protecting you from the heat. But a shadow is not just a place that protects you from the heat or shade, although it speaks about that being the right hand and protecting you from that. If it's raining outside, where do you go? You go under a shadow. You go under a place of shelter. It's a place of protection. But it also, it's a place, the word here speaks of a fortress, the refuge, from the hurt of those that are out to get you. I think about Moses. If Moses was the one who wrote this psalm, most likely he is referencing the pillar that was the pillar of cloud by day. And that pillar was the one that led them through the wilderness. And it was the one that guided them. There was a pillar of fire by night that provided that light. And this pillar was also a place of protection. It was a place of direction. It was an instrument of direction, but it was also an instrument of protection. Numbers 9, verse 15, it speaks about the tabernacle. When the tabernacle at night, there would be the fire that would appear there in the midst of the camp. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22, during the day, the cloud would appear. And when the cloud would move, they would move. As the Lord would lead them through the cloud, they would follow that cloud. But it's interesting that Psalm 105, verse 39, speaks about this cloud. You see, the cloud was not just direction. The cloud was protection. Psalm 105, verse 39. It says, "He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night." So that pillar that led them by night, that was to give the light. But that cloud by day, if you got up close by the cloud, if you got close to that pillar that was leading them, if you were right where the direction was, you were under the shade in the desert, in the heat. You were under the shade of that pillar by day. And that was a place you wanted to be. In Israel. I was supposed to go to Israel after 10 years serving here. I'm getting close to 11, so I don't know if I get two trips or not, but you can throw in, you know, let's throw in the Greece and everything going on there with the seven cities as well. We'll get a twofer at 20. All right. I'll keep on keeping on for that. I'll sign a contract. But, you know, when you go out to Israel, it's hotter there than it is here. It's desert. But if you stayed in the back of the camp, think about it. 3 or so million Israelites wandering in the wilderness. Those that were away from God's will and God's word. But those that got up close, those that were right at the front when God directed, those that were right where God wanted them, they got a little extra blessing. They got the direction and they got the protection of the pillar, of the cloud. Hey, listen today. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be falling back from God's direction in my life. I don't want to be the one that get up late and don't do what God has called me to do. I want to get up close to the cloud by day. I want to get close to the presence of God when He leads and He guides and I'm following Him right near. I get direction in my life, but I also get special protection. I believe that's the picture. that God is giving. I was going through the scripture reading and I had a little fit as I was studying that. I was like, that really spoke to me. But you think about it. Psalm 91 speaks about those that are close, those that are right there in the shadow of the Almighty. Those are right close to where God is, have His presence, and they're in His presence, and they're in a place of protection and direction in their life. Psalm 91 says it helps you in times of trial, verses 1 through 4. It helps you in times of terror, verses 5 to 10. Do you understand what's going on today in Afghanistan with everything happening in our nation? As a student of history and a student of someone that loves our country, and it could happen at any time. And when it happens, what are you going to do? Are you going to get up close to the direction of God? Are you going to get close to His presence? Or are you going to fall out? Times of terror and times of temptation, verses 11 through 16. If you're right by His presence, you'll have direction and you'll have protection in your life. Let's look at this shadow of the Almighty. What happens in the shadow? Well, first of all, let's look at this place. It's a secret place. Now, it gives protection, it gives direction, it gives protection. But also notice, it's a secret place. How do I get to this shadow? Maybe my mind works like somebody else's here. Probably not, all right? But I'm thinking, okay, this is the shadow of the Almighty. I want to get close to God. I want to be protected. I want direction. How do I do that? There's no pillar that's going to appear right now. There's no fire. Well, that is the presence, but how do I get real close to Him? Well, it's a secret place. There's some clues to being in the shadow of the Almighty. Look at verse 1. He that dwelleth. The word there means to make a camp. He that dwelleth. Now, remember, if the presence was in the center of the camp, those that were close to Him, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Jesus spoke about the secret place. It's called prayer. Our theme this year is pray. Do you understand you can get to the shadow of the Almighty by just bowing your head and heart humbly and getting ready into the presence of God in prayer? It's a privilege. Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's not saying we should never pray publicly, but it's saying this: when we pray publicly, it shouldn't be as the hypocrites are, making a long show of words and pretentiousness. It shouldn't be repetition of just praying so other people can hear you. When you're praying, whether it be privately or publicly, it's as if it's just you and God, because that's really all that matters. You're not praying for other people, you're praying to Him. You're not praying so other people hear you, you're praying directly to Him. The secret place. When's the last time you've been in the secret place? It's amazing through the presence of God. If you're saved today, He is in you, the hope of glory. He's a fire burning on the inside. We have His Word that guides us. We have this Holy Spirit that directs us. And when the Holy Spirit, that fire that's in us, that the illumination that's in us, and when He directs, if we follow His prompting and we pray about it. You know, here's the problem. When we get a time of trial, when we get a time of terror, we get a time of temptation, the only way we're not going to panic is pray. Not just a little formality of words, but truly getting into God's presence. Do you understand today when we pray, it's not as much to inform God, although Scripture says that we are to make known our request unto Him with thanksgiving. You know, you realize this, that God already knows what you're going to pray for? Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? If you think about that for a while, that will get you going today. But He still invites us. Do we pray to inform God? No, if you think about it, we don't pray to inform God. We certainly don't pray to impress God. We pray to invite God, to invite His power, to invite His presence, to invite His will and His plan into our life. It's the secret place of the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, if you're going to be in a shadow, if you're going to be in somebody's shadow, you've got to be real close to be in the shadow. You got to draw nigh unto Him. If you're going to be in a shadow, it's a place of humility. You're going to be underneath the shadow. You're not on top of the shadow. You're not in front of the shadow. You're underneath the shadow. It's a place of humility as you. And that's what I love about those that bow their knees. If you're able to bow your knees at an altar or bow your knees there before the Lord, is a place of humility. But most importantly, bowing your heart humbly before Him under the shadow. I have an idea that when you pray, you're under the shadow of the Almighty when you pray, and you're directly into His presence. Oh, Moses never forgot that. Remember, he wanted to see God, and God said, you can't see me and live. I'm a holy God. I'll just put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll just pass by and you see the hinder parts. I believe he's referring to the shadow as well as the shadow that fell upon him. And Moses came back glowing from the presence of God. And we who know Jesus Christ as Savior have a little more than Moses ever had. We've got his word. We've got the Holy Ghost within us. We're being changed from glory to glory. We're in his image. And as we spend time with Jesus, we become more like him. And as we pray, he gives us his plan, his power, his provision, his will. Oh, I've been to the shadow of the Almighty this morning. Have you? Have you been to the secret place? It's the only thing that's going to get you through times of trial. It's the only thing that's going to get you through times of terror. It's the only thing that's going to get you through times of temptation. You may be facing something right now. Get to the secret place. If you have to, turn off the cell phone. Lock the door. That's what the scripture says. Get in your closet and just get time with you and God. And just pray. Oh, it's a secret place. Here's another key. It's a sacred place. Remember the holiness of God. You can't just approach the shadow of the Almighty and go any old way. You've got to go by the way of the cross. You've got to go through understanding who God is. We don't define who God is. God revealed himself to us. And here's where we get to the names. The first part, we're going to look at the names. When you're praying, when you're in the secret place, you're in a sacred place in the presence of God. So let's just think about the names. There's two aspects to the names. Here, the first part is who he is, and the second part is what he does. Okay, so let's look at who he is. First, there's four names. Look at the text listed in the Word of God here. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth, abides, lives in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, you see already the Most High, that's a name. The Almighty is a name. Verse 2, I would say of the Lord, in all capital letters, there's a name. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. Four names are found in the text. Here's some clues when you're in the shadow of the Almighty. First of all, El Elyon is the first one in the Hebrew here. It's the Most High. This is a name for God, the Most High. It speaks of God's possession. He's the Most High. He's the possessor of everything in heaven and earth. It speaks of his ownership. He owns everything. We're in the shadow. When you pray, we're in the shadow of someone who owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills that the cattle are on. Listen, he is God. He owns everything. 36 times in the Bible, God calls himself by this name. Oh, he's the Most High God above all. And then he's the Almighty. That speaks of his provision. The first name is El Elyon, the Most High. The second one is El Shaddai. That's the word, the Almighty God. So he's El Elyon, the one who owns all, possesses all. And then there's El Shaddai, the one who provides for all. Do you understand the reality of that? It's like if you saw $5 million being guarded by those it moved into a bank vault, and you heard there were $5 million that were being moved from one bank vault to another, being protected to get there. You would say that's impressive. But if you found out that $5 million was being protected for you, that'd be a whole different perspective. You see, God is the El Shaddai, the one who owns all, gives all. He's the El Shaddai. He's not just a living God who owns all. He is a giving God who supplies all of our need. He's El Shaddai. When you pray and you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you're in the shadow of someone who owns everything. You're in the shadow of someone who can do anything and can give anything and loves you. He's El Shaddai. He's El Elyon. You're in the shadow of someone who loves you, who cares for you, who knows you, and he can meet and provide that need. He's God. Look at the third name, the Lord. The word here speaks of God's promise. It's the greatest name for God among the Hebrew people. He's the God who exists, the self-existent one, the I am that I am, the eternal, the immutable, the unchanging one. This speaks of his covenant relation. He keeps his promises. Do you understand that when you're in the presence of the God of heaven, when you're in the shadow of the Almighty, you're in the shadow of someone who owns all, El Elyon, the one who gives all, El Shaddai, the one who is... who keeps his word, and he always keeps his word, the covenant-keeping God, the self-existent one. You can trust him. You realize that God's never made a mistake, and he's not about to start in your life. He cares for you. You get up to the shadow of the Almighty. Do you understand that these promises are not for those outside the shadows, those that are in the shadow, dwelling and abiding in the shadow of the Almighty? And the fourth name here is the word Elohim, God, Elohim. He speaks of his power. So the one who owns all, the one who gives all and provides for all, the one who is promises and keeps his word to all, can do all. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. Why in the world do we run to Facebook? Why in the world do we run to somebody who can't do anything about it? Why in the world do we complain and run within and get distressed and discouraged? Why do we just clam up? Let's speak out to the Lord. Let's get to the shadow of the Almighty. If you're wandering through the wilderness of unbelief, it's about time to run up to the front of the camp and get close to that pillar. And you follow that pillar and get close to the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place of direction. It's a place of protection. And the one that is there, that shadow that you're in, is the one that loves you, cares for you, created you. It's the word Elohim for Creator God. He's the one who created you. He formed you. He fashioned you. He loves you. Get close to the presence of the Lord. It's a sacred place of who is there. Then what he does, it's a safe place. Let's go back to the names. So El Elyon, Most High. That's not just possessor. You realize that's the situation. He's our refuge and fortress. He's above all. So if he's above all, nothing can bother him. We're seated with him in the heavenlies. When you're with him and you're in the shadow of the Almighty, we're with him on high. You realize verse 14 goes further. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. You know what that tells you? When you pray, you ought to know who you're praying to. What's his name? His name is the Most High. And do you understand today, if you're living in fear, if you're living in worry, if you're living in anxiety, you're living beneath your privileges and your position as a born again, blood bought child of God, you're seated with him in the heavenlies. He's in you. You're in him. He's above all and you're with him in glory. You are more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Because if you know his name, God says he's going to set his love on you. His name is Most High. He loves it when you get into his presence and say, God, you are El Elyon. You're the Most High God. You're above this situation. You've got a perspective. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. I can't understand it. I can't comprehend it, but I know that you're above it and I'm above it too because I'm with you. That's faith. Because you know his name. He's El Shaddai. He has everything provided for you. He's given you a blank check to the promises of God. You cash it, claim it, believe it, hold it, follow it. I know his name. He's El Shaddai, means that he is the one that provides for all of my needs. By the way, not your greeds. Don't try to claim El Shaddai trying to cash a lottery ticket, all right? He doesn't provide your greeds. He provides your needs. And if you go to him, the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Stop worrying. Stop complaining. There's an El Shaddai who knows your needs, who can provide it. If you just get to the shadow, you humbly ask and it shall be given unto you. Humbly seek and you shall find. Humbly knock and the door shall be opened. Because he hath known my name, I'll set my love upon him. El Elyon, El Shaddai. Oh, and there's the God of heaven, that's the Lord. My kids know something about me. They know, my dad was like this. If my dad gave a promise, all I had to say was, Dad, you promised. Why? Because he wanted to keep his word. And I can't remember a time where he gave his word on something that he didn't follow through on. I praise God for a dad like that. And I've tried to do that with my kids. My kids know it. If I say something, if they say, Dad, you said it, I gotta keep it, all right? Why? Because I want them to see a picture of God in me. I'm not perfect at all. I fail, I falter, but I know there's a God who always keeps his word. God loves it when you go to him with his word and say, God, this is what you said. You said you'd give me a peace that passes all understanding, and I need that peace. You said you'd give me a way of escape. You said you'd not put upon me anything more than you can handle. Oh, God, I claim your word, your promises. He loves it. And then you know his name. He'll set his love on you when you know his name. He's creator. The God that created you, formed you, fashioned you. He knows the hair of your head. He's got it numbered. Some of that's easier than others, but God knows everything. You're downsetting, you're uprising. Go to Psalm 139 and start praising God and claiming his word. God, you know me, my downsetting, my uprising. You know when I was born. You know, God, you know the thoughts that I think. You know everything. So God, I'm just coming to you and I'm inviting your power. I'm inviting your presence. You are my creator, Elohim God. So God, with your power and your creative power, God, I'm going to ask you to carry this through. God sets in. God steps in and sets his love on you. Because he hath known my name. Do you know his name? Do you call his name? The rest of the passage goes on. We don't have time, but verse 7 says, all these things, disease, disaster, demons, destruction. You say, preacher, that means, wait a second, does this mean that I'll never have death, never have disease, never have any pestilence? That's not what it means. In fact, the devil took this verse of the temptation of Jesus and said, hey, why don't you jump down from that temple? And the Psalm 91 says that if you jump from the temple, the angels will carry you up. Lord Jesus looks back and says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In fact, the devil, I don't have time to go into it, misquoted the verse. He said, at all times. It doesn't say all at all times. The Septuagint says at all times, but it didn't say all times in the Hebrew text that was breathed out by God. He used a mistranslation of God's word, misused God's word, misquoted God's word, just like he did to Eve. It's not at all times. It's when God directs you, God protects you, and even he doesn't necessarily keep you from it, he keeps you in it. Under the shadow of the Almighty, you look at the Aka, you look at Jim Elliot, he wasn't protected from death, but he was in the shadow of the Almighty because that was God's will. That was God's place for him, and God used that for his good and for God's glory. Shadow of the Almighty doesn't mean you'll never have problems, but it means in the problems, you've got a God that will guide you. In the problems, you've got a God that will provide for you. In the problems, you have one that will protect you and carry you through according to his will for his glory. I've got permission to share this, and we're pretty close to done, all right? I won't say which son, but one of them that's here. I got permission. Last night after the baseball game, he came to me, and we're talking about what happened at the bookstore that day. Apparently, in the morning, there were two young men wearing all black with chains, were kind of harassing my dad for being back there, and something shady was going on in the back of the bookstore. All right, it's Wilson. So Joey went out in the afternoon. Oh, I gave his name, but we have permission. He's the man. They were doing the same thing. I won't go into detail, but he dropped what he had and ran back in and went to a place of safety and kind of hid. And they came in the store. And he started harassing my dad, made my dad go out there and pick up what they dropped because they were harassing my son. Found out about it about 9 o'clock at night, and he was scared, and I said, I'll tell you what, we're going to go down there. I called Evan Brewer, and I was like, just to let you know, the Punisher's in town. We're going to take care of business. I brought with me the shadow of Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson, and we went down there in my truck, and sure enough, 9:40 at night, there were four vehicles back there. And I was like, it's on Donkey Kong. I pulled up, I pulled around, bad boys, what you gonna do? And I was ready to go. 71-year-old father, my 12-year-old boy, I was ready to deal with it in the name of Jesus. One was crouching underneath the seat. I said, here, sit up, we'll take care of this. Let's just ask the questions. I pulled up and started asking questions, and they were both wearing black. They were coming at me. And it turned out they weren't the ones that had it happened to. They were guys that were working there, and one of them said, my pastor works for your dad. I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm the pastor at Tabernacle Baptist Church. So I'm hiding everything that I carried with me. But you know what I noticed? My son had a whole lot more confidence when he was with me. I had a whole lot more confidence when I was with Mr. Smith and Mrs. Wesson after I had called someone else for backup, if necessary. Let me tell you, friend, you've got someone to call on, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. In fact, when he gave the Great Commission, he said, lo, I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the world. You've got someone that can do all, that can give all, that is above all, that created you, loved you. Oh, just get close to the presence of God. You want to get rid of that fear? You want to get rid of that anxiety? Get close and pray about it. Spend time with his word. Listen to him. Pray about it. Carry it to him in prayer and just and be in his presence and follow him the rest of your life. You can either be in the shadow of their Almighty or you can fall out of the camp. Can I close with this? Do you realize that who was in the shadow of the Almighty? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Word of God speaks about it. The shadow, the pillar of the cloud by day. Exodus chapter 23. I don't have time to go into it, but Exodus 23 verse 20. The Bible says that God says, I will send an angel before you and keep you in the way and bring you into the place where I prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. My name, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Elohim, God, Jehovah, my name is in him. And if you obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemy. enemies and an adversary unto the adversaries. Mine angel shall go before thee. Hey, listen, who was in the cloud? Jesus was in the cloud. He was as the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, as he led them through the wilderness. That cloud was not just a cloud, that was just a fire. There was a person that was leading them. His name was Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I would not have you ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Oh, in the cloud was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, our application is to get close to Jesus. You know, there's something else in the text that talked about the feathers. You say, God has feathers? No, that's the illustration. The illustration is of a chicken. And a prairie fire, someone would know this, and many prairie fires, if they see a rubble remains, a charred remains, so usually it's the hen. Instinctively, a hen will find its young and cover them with their feathers. God put that in the mother hen to protect the young. And so often as you kick over those charred remains, you'll find alive baby chickens. You know what Jesus said? How oft he looked at Jerusalem that lifted him up to die on the cross of Calvary, that rejected him. Jesus said, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Hey, can I tell you today, there's a God in heaven. There's a person named Jesus Christ. He's in the cloud. He's in the fire. He's here. He's everywhere. He loves you. He created you. He provided for you. And he's looking at you today. And yes, he doesn't have physical feathers, but he's got his abiding presence. And he's looking and say, oh, how often would I have loved to have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. One of the saddest things will happen one day. Jesus, who endured our hell for us on the cross of Calvary, if you would not allow him and don't get under his wings, spiritually speaking, in salvation, in repentance and faith, you're going to go through a whole lot in life. Number one, for salvation. Is one day, friend, if you don't trust Christ to save you, if you're cast into that place called hell, you're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you. You're going to hear one day, don't go to a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. In other words, the devil never, God never designed you to go to hell. If you go to hell, it's your own choice. He doesn't want you to go there. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Jesus had tears streaming down his eyes as he wept. How oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you would not. Come to Christ today. If you're not saved today, why in the world? I would not want to live in this world if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible says we'd be a men most miserable. All the trials, all the terror, all the temptation, there's no way I can do it. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I need Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful today that I'm under his wings with salvation. But let me tell you, friend, if you're saved today, why in the world would you walk away from the one that saved you? Would you come back to the shadow of the Almighty? Just humbly, I wish I could explain it even better. Just humbly get to his word. Do what he tells you to do. Just humbly come and ask. Know his name. The one who is Elyon, the Most High. The one that is El Shaddai, who can provide. The one who is Elohim, who created you. The one who is God, who can do all things and keeps his word. Know his name. Declare his name. Call out to his name. And you'll be under the shadow of the Almighty.